welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com has scheduled to have Dean Clifford on, and I didn't know whether he was going to show up, so I brought on Suzanne Posel, and Dean has just arrived, and it's great. So I guess we're going to turn it into a wee bit of a roundtable discussion for a segment or two, because Suzanne needs to get out some very important information about Syria, but we'll see. Suzanne, do you actually just want to leave, or have you interviewed Dean before?
I have never interviewed Dean. I didn't want to leave, but Dean, I would.
Dean, welcome.
I'm okay with whatever's going on.
Okay, that's good. Would you be able to turn your speakers down as well? That would be really nice with the old echo.
I shouldn't have an echo right now. I'm actually using a very expensive mic, and I got my headphones on.
Hmm.
Okay. You know what? If it's too high, I hope it's not clipping out. Hang on, I'll turn the volume down a little bit.
No, it seems fine. It seems fine. It seems to have resolved itself. Well,
is it good?
Yeah. Let's turn this into a wee bit of a roundtable discussion then, I guess. It is 9/11, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, it's a day of remembrance. I remember I talked to an American about this. You know, it's like in some kind of a filthy flat in uptown Auckland this one time. And this dude just come over from the States. I think he's from Cali. And talked to him about 9/11. He says, yeah, man, it was a black day. And he knew nothing about 9/11, you know. He actually believed that jet fuel could evaporate steel and poof concrete into particularized dust. It's just, how many years does it take before
people
the truth is going to come out?
Anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, isn't it? You ever heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yes.
Yeah, there's bound to be somebody stupid enough to believe any stupid story. You know, snake oil, whatever. Incidentally, that's how the Rockefeller fortune got made. Did you know that? Big Bill Rockefeller was a traveling snake oil salesman. I'm not making it up.
I thought they all were. Their brilliance came when they got us to travel to them so they could sell their snake oil.
Yeah, well, actually, the brilliance came when I think Big Bill Rockefeller was the Primarch of the family, decided that it was really just a lot of work, you know, to scam towns by himself, you know, one at a time. So he employed a whole bunch of con men to scam whole regions at a time, and took a cut from all of their scammings and so on and so forth. And that's how he amassed a massive fortune, by scamming the Old West.
Yeah, and they were originally financed by Rothschilds too.
Allegedly. Now, today, I'm not sure if we're going to juggle this balance here, because Dean's got a very different field of expertise to Suzanne. Suzanne wants to talk about Syria, and Dean's talking about being free and legalese speak and messing with the establishment that way and the court system and what have you. And you even got busted not too long ago, didn't you, Dean?
Well, it's been about a year since you and I spoke, I think, right?
Yeah.
So there's been two incidents actually since then now, two major incidents. So, yeah. But all in my favor. But we can get onto that later. But if we want to talk about Syria a little bit too, I've been actually keeping very close tabs on that situation myself. So I wouldn't mind getting involved in a little bit of that as well.
All right, excellent. Everybody likes tabs. Now, Suzanne.
Yes.
If you would be so kind as to lay us on it, because I know that you're an incredible researcher and that Syria is a very serious situation and it's very Assad. So please go right ahead.
Well, I was asking myself why. What did Assad do? We knew that Saddam Hussein was starting the same kind of thing that Gaddafi was doing, wasn't playing ball. And so we took both of those men out. Mainly with Gaddafi, it had to do with the dinar. But what had Assad done? I didn't hear anything about him starting his own currency or working with the BRICS nations or anything like that. So I had to figure out what the Syrian the country of Syria has that they want so badly. And when I looked at Israel just found a Leviathan field, is what they're calling it. And it is a huge, huge untapped natural gas resource. Huge. It's enough for them to have their own, which would make them energy independent. They would be able to supplement with a little bit of petrol and a little bit of coal, whereas right now they do it the other way around because they buy their natural gas from other countries. And this Leviathan field, which is about to be developed, and the company that's doing it is Noble Energy, and that's important. The Leviathan field bumps right up against Cyprus and their edge of territory where their natural gas reserves are, and those are also untapped, and they haven't been developed yet. So Syria had decided a couple of years ago that they were going to set up a pipeline with Iran and Iraq. And they signed a deal in 2011. And this would give them a pipeline that went straight to the Mediterranean Sea, starting in Iraq. Syria would be right in the middle of it. And this would give them the ability to rise as the third largest natural gas provider on the planet. And they would be able to service the European area, Southeast Asia, Russia, and China, and become the premier provider of natural gas. So Israel really doesn't want that because they have enough natural gas to not only take care of themselves for the next 200 years, but also export and make a huge amount of money. In the initial estimates of the area, it was insured at over $700 billion. It's worth over $700 billion. And that's just initial estimates. They expect that over time, when they start developing the area, that they'll find more and more of it. So they signed a deal with Turkey and Jordan, and they wanted Syria to jump on board. And Syria decided to go in favor of the other pipeline with Iran and Iraq, and not Israel. So I said, okay, that's what it is. It's natural gas. And then I started to realize everything that they've been doing to take out all of their competition around the world. And we've seen these instances as isolated incidents, and they're not. In fact, it reminded me, it hit me like a ton of pricks. You know, we forget, or people like me who are journalists forget that we're covering these stories and they're all interconnected. Every single thing that happens that makes the news, and a lot of the things that don't, but especially the things that make the news in the mainstream, those are the things that are influential. And every single instance is tied to each other. Every incident is tied to each other. Every time they put out a report about something, then all of a sudden it turns into the American Pediatrics Society says that kids are obese. And then the DSM comes out, and the AHA comes out and says that it's a disease. And so pharmaceuticals are now being made because these children are fat and they need to take pharmaceuticals because it's a mental disorder, it's a disease. That's how this stuff works. And so the same thing with Syria and the quest to become the premier export for the entire globe is why Cyprus got attacked, why that money came out of the deposits, the customer accounts, when it was siphoned up to 90%, why we had the Boston bombing, why the Arab Spring happened in Egypt. There's something else I'm forgetting that's tied to it. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is tied to this. And especially with the Boston bombing, it blew me away to think that something that would never seem connected. And Cyprus, people taking, the technocrats taking money out of people's accounts had to do with the economic terrorism that Israel was imposing on Syria, on Cyprus, in order to get them to the point where they would, and they did, sign an agreement with the Israeli government to have Noble Energy, which I mentioned before, to come in and develop the natural gas reserves. So now Israel is in charge of their natural gas reserves. They're controlling it because Noble Energy has ties to the Israeli government. They're also doing the same thing in Greece. Greece also has natural gas deposits, and they have enough to be able to not become the most plentiful source, but definitely a contender on global markets. So they have to take these two competitors out, and they've done so through economic terrorism. Do you want me to keep going?
It's all sounding pretty much spot on.
So
yeah, keep going.
So what? One thing that I realized when I was digging into this was, oh my God, I remember I covered Cyprus, and I saw it as an isolated incident. So here I am thinking the technocrats are going to come in and take the money out of our accounts, and I'm not saying that they're not. But Cyprus was attacked specifically because its natural gas reserves, its territorial area, bumps up against the Leviathan. And when you're talking about the Mediterranean Sea, there's no marker in the middle of the sea for the place where you bought the area to say that this is mine. So it's easier for Israel to take over Cyprus and say, look, we're developing the Leviathan. You already, you're already beginning to develop your area and take the natural gas. And by the way, Cyprus, this is the brilliance of the Israeli government. They have Cyprus not only paying back the IMF and the European Central Bank for money that they don't owe, but they're also giving Noble Energy and the Israeli government through that corporation $10 billion to build the apparatus it would take to develop their area in the natural gas out of the seabed. So not only are they attacked economically and they are put in a position where they have to sell their resources in order to survive, and then they have to pay for it. That is that is just amazing. So they're doing the same thing with Greece and Cyprus. So Greece and Cyprus was part of this natural gas endeavor, and this has been going on for a really, really long, long time. So then
It sounds like they're really, really onto it with their business acumen here.
Well, yeah, they've got different, you know, we think of the actions of the technocrats about siphoning out wealth, and because they want to keep it all. But here, in this instance between Greece and Cyprus, it's plainly obvious the technocrats came in there not to siphon out the money because they wanted it, to siphon it out because through economic terrorism, Cyprus and Greece would be put in a position where they would be ready for takeover. It's like a hostile takeover. It's like a corporate hostile takeover. They go in there and they wait until you're down and on your luck and you need the money, and then they say, we're going to buy your company, there's nothing you can do about it, you're broke anyway, here's the money.
Whoa, this sounds exactly like the standard operating procedure of US Standard Oil back in the day when it was sweating out its competition. Exactly the same methodology.
I was going to say, let's not confuse brilliance with terrorism and just monstrous, disgusting behavior. There's a difference between brilliance and what they're doing. It's not brilliant if I kidnap somebody, put a gun to their head, and say, I'll let you go if you give me everything you own. That's not brilliant. That's terrorism.
I agree with you.
It is if you get away with it, and it's the perfect crime.
I guess, yeah.
The way in which they attack, when you think about the Arab Spring, you think of it a lot. Well, not you personally, but the majority of people think of it as I get in trouble with identifiers. I always talk directly to the person I'm talking to when I have to generalize, because I'm just used to personal talking. I'm not used to speaking to an audience. So I'm still learning, folks. I'm sorry. But when we look at those Arab Springs, we think, oh, well, they're rising up against their government. They need help. We'll come in there. It's all about regime change. And the purpose of the regime change is because the gentleman in power right now, who was put there by the people who are taking him out, is not working anymore. He got fired from his position. And the way to get him, he's not just going to leave the building and take his little box and his stapler home and put it in the car. We have to physically remove him from his station. So that's what a regime change is, essentially. And what Israel is doing to make sure that they don't have any competition in the Middle East for natural gas. They are taking out their competition in ways that are strategically suited for what they're doing.
We're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Dane Clifford and Suzanne Posel.
Speedway rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual.
Welcome back.
Credible, so until I can say I'm credible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being a credible, edible, extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasted live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can check out the archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. Incidentally made by another guy named Eastwood. And my very special guests, Suzanne Posel and Dean Clifford. It was kind of a last-minute thing. Dean's sort of notorious for not turning up, so I decided to cover my bases.
Hey.
I remember you told me that one time. It was like, yeah, he was actually early. He was actually early, early at the last minute. And what was you talking about? You told me that time that you missed Heinrich Palmgren at Red Ice Radio like thrice, I think.
No. It wasn't Heinrich. It was Angela Stark on Talk Show.
Oh, okay.
I actually missed her 3 times, and I felt awful. So we finally got a fourth figured out, and. Yeah, you know what? My life has just been so hectic the last 2 years. And I'm very bad with scheduling as it is. And now you throw anarchy into the equation. It was all I could do just to friggin' remember to eat for about 2 years there. So I've gotten much better now.
Yeah. Well, we'll give you some allowances because you do so much friggin' important work, bro.
I'm trying.
And in fact, somebody was emailing me this morning asking me what the kind of consequences are actually happening to people who do these kind of things that you do, and he's thinking about starting up. And I said to him, look, mate, it's not going to be easy. A lot of them do experience some consequences, you know. Some experience bankruptcy, some experience harassment by the police amidst the successes. So it doesn't matter how much I's you dot or T's you cross. There's always some kind of way the establishment comes at you because they really don't like it when you become free.
What happened to Martin Luther when he decided to stand up to the Catholic Church?
And my point to this guy was, it doesn't matter if they come after you for doing the right thing. The point of fact is, those who are doing the right thing and having this kind of terrible repercussions for their actions and so on and so forth, indeed pave the path for those who are yet to come.
That's absolutely correct.
And it's a noble endeavor, and I must applaud you for that.
That's their greatest fear, is that people will begin to start doing the right thing, to hell with the consequences. And that's actually a maxim of law. Let justice be done, though the heavens should fall. That's exactly what that means. Do justice, do really? Right, though the heavens should fall. So come what may, I'm going to do what's right. It's a maxim of law.
Hmm. Well, I think Syria is following the law then, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a reason I do it. It comes in handy once in a while.
Yeah. Now, today being 9/11, I was wondering what your perspectives on 9/11 were, Dan.
Oh, boy, you know what? I was still pretty naive back then. I remember thinking, oh, boy, someone's going to get it now when all that happened. And it didn't take long. I think within the first couple of months, we started getting into the whole 9/11, I don't know what you want to call it, conspiracy culture, which turns out to be that the conspiracists now are that 19 retarded hijackers were able to fly jetliners into the towers and bring down, 7 or 8 or 9 buildings in downtown New York, and a perfected missile strike on the Pentagon with a jetliner, and That just sounds nutty now, but I've been following this for a while back when people were saying that the planes were illusions and the pod people, and I've seen it all when it comes to 9/11. And my biggest thing with that is we all know who did it, who benefits. They got unlimited war. They got their military budgets approved. They wanted to take down 7 nations in the Middle East in 5 years, and That opened the pathway for everything they wanted to do. We know all about the dancing Israelis. We know all about the power downs in the 9/11 towers in the months leading up to 9/11. We know about the crews that were in there that were apparently installing cables and internet and a whole new security system, which means that they were in there wiring explosives. We know that Jeb Bush was owned the company, was in charge of security to make sure that no one was questioning all the people walking in there with explosives. Dogs were pulled out of the World Trade Centers months in advance to make sure that they didn't smell any of the bombs were being brought in. We know exactly who did it. It's not rocket science. I'm just glad that exactly how it was done. I mean, geez, it's pretty easy to keep a lot of people in the dark. I mean, just look at the IRS. They've got an entire organization of people that have no idea that the Income Tax Act is completely unenforceable. Yet we have SWAT teams taking down farmers for not paying income taxes. So it's easy to keep people in the dark. I think people have finally been able to look themselves in the mirror in the last year or so, maybe even more recent than that now, and realize they've been duped, realize that they've been made fools with their patriotic nonsense. They're starting to rethink things like 9/11, especially in light of the fact that the U.S. government has basically declassified all the documents that every false flag they've ever done, including the lead into a Vietnam. You know, I think Americans are finally starting to get it, that their government is not there to help them. Their government doesn't like them. Their government is actually probably at war with them, and they've come to terms with that, and I think it's time to finally start doing something about it now.
What exactly can we do about 9/11 being an inside job like 13 years ago or so on and so forth, and the criminals and government now ruling over your life with absolute impunity and being able to surveil everything that you do and drone strike you if they don't like it under the NDAA?
Well, again, there's only so many people that really know what's going on at the very top. That's how they're able to get away with what they're able to do. Most of the military actually really believes they're doing something good around the world. And I think getting the information out there is one of the most important things. Getting people informed in a realistic way and leaving the reptilians and the pod people out of it and just sticking to facts and things that are easily provable and within the realm of mainstream thought, if you want to call it that. I think the rise of the independent media and the alternative media is going to be the master stroke here, the coup de grace. There's no question. I'm all over supporting people like Abby Martin online, who's big into this kind of stuff. The biggest problem is that the media has been owned by the same people doing all this stuff now for 60, 70 years plus, even going back to World War II and before World War II. So while they're carrying out all their crimes around the world, the media is talking about Miss Alabama or something else, right? They're there to distract us. And with the rise of the alternative media, people are now more aware of what's going on around the world and not just right in the continental United States, which is kind of the core of the problem. Most Americans were so deluded and deceived and uneducated and misinformed that It used to be just pathetic. I used to go on vacation in Mexico and we'd talk to Americans and we'd come back from our vacation going, can you believe how fucking dumb those people were? And I feel bad now because...
Sorry, I apologize to the affiliates for the language. We're not allowed to say that on here.
Oh, that's even right. Yeah, sorry.
Even if it's the truth. When I was 14, Mum took me to Disneyland and I was talking to Americans when I was in L.A. And I came to the exact same conclusion. Can you believe how fracking stupid these people are? Oh my God, I love your accent. Where are you from? And it's like, I'm from New Zealand. And they go, oh, really? Is that like Australia? Did you have a long drive? Oh my God.
Vinny, how many Americans I've met that didn't know where Canada was, you would not believe it.
Oh, no. There's actually 1 in 7 Americans don't even know where America is.
Yes. And so, yeah, I used to not be able to believe. So it's no wonder they're as deceived as they are. They'll believe anything because they don't know anything. And that's not their fault. That's a product of their school system, the media, the government lying to them for generations now. It's really quite sad. So I think one of the things we got to do is really got to bring a lot of people up to speed on what's going on around the world. And I think that's starting to happen now. I think they've realized they can't trust their media. They can't trust their government. They can't trust their schools. They better get online and start learning for themselves. And they're starting to. And it's been a mass awakening in the United States. It's good. When it finally hits The critical mass point here, if people thought the Arab Spring was something, just wait. So they got to be a little panicked right down in the United States there right now in old Washington, D.C. there with the speed with which people are starting to waken up. I think they thought they had all lulled us into unconscious stupidity for the next millennia. And the Internet's really helped to wake that up. The alternative media reporters. I've spoken to so many reporters over the last little while, even ones that are still in the mainstream media, and they've told me themselves off the record they are so sick of what passes for reporting these days and integrity in reporting, and they have no say in it at all if they want to keep their jobs. They just pass whatever they report on up to their producers. Their producer says yay or nay because their producer has been told by the owners that if they print anything like this, they're fired. You're only going to print stories like this. It's so controlled, it's sickening. So we're starting to win.
You were talking earlier about how people are distracted by these beauty pageants and all the disinformation. I was thinking, you know, we should actually have a truther beauty pageant, like really hot truther girls and stuff like that get out there in the bikinis, and we can call it the misinformation contest.
We need to. We actually need media that's not just nothing but doom and gloom and boring on our side. I'm actually glad you brought that up. We need exciting stuff, stuff that people actually want to come to see, because the reason what they turn to mainstream TV is because they just want some happiness and to be left alone and be cheered up at the end of the day. They're already so sick of their crap job, their crap life. Their mortgage, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, they have no money, nothing to do, their family life sucks because there's no family unit anymore. They just want to turn on the TV and forget about this stuff. And so to think that we're going to bring those people to our side by bringing them doom and gloom and news that they've got to fight even harder and expect things to get worse before they get better, good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, that's unfortunately reality TV in a nutshell, isn't it? This is the
yes,
reality, ladies and
gentlemen.
I'm
so sick of my life, I would rather watch somebody else's.
Now, television itself has been like the bane of the existence of the American population. Apparently, Americans watch television up to 8 hours a day. And I was just thinking, frack, imagine how much, that's a whole day of work that you've just wasted sitting in a dreamlike state.
Well, it's actually worse than wasted. You actually are becoming more brainwashed and more detached from reality every time you spend 8 hours watching TV. I mean, think about it. You're actually living inside whatever is coming out of your television programming. You're no longer able to even differentiate between reality and fiction. In fact, fiction is more real to you than reality, and you can't wait to get back to it. So it's not just doing nothing, it's actually doing incredibly bad things.
Yeah, like they say on network, people believe what they see on television. They think what's on TV is real and that their own lives are unreal. And it's not true. The people are the real thing and we are the illusion.
What a brilliant movie. I post that clip on my Facebook page probably every other month just to remind people of the prophetic words in that movie.
Now, Susanna, have you got something to add in here? You've been kind of silent listening.
Oh, yes. You guys are brilliant. I'm just listening. No, I absolutely agree with you. It's multi-generational. Everything that our parents taught us was a program, and everything that their parents taught them was a program, and it goes back 80 years as far as turning us from a desire, from a needs culture to a desire culture, which has multiple effects. It's not just the rise of consumerism, but it's also the foundation for dumbing us down, because as we become more dependent on our gadgets and our conveniences, we don't pass on the idea of canning or the idea of growing your own food and how to care for the plants, how to take care of animals, how to sew a button on back onto your shirt. How my mother made my clothes when I was my daughter's age, and she made my barrettes. She made them with ribbons and beads and everything except my shoes and my underwear were and she washed them. You know, she had, and I had like a little duck pin. I remember that little duck pin. These things, as soon as conveniences came along and they became more and more popular, we became more and more dependent. We started going to tech colleges instead of getting 4-year university degrees in thought and philosophy and learning and critical thinking and logic. And now you just go online and you go to University of Phoenix and all of a sudden you've got all this tech knowledge, and it's an assembly line job. It's just they took the assembly line out, so you don't see it, but you're still a slave going to an assembly line job, and you hate it, and you can't figure out why. And if you just take a step back and think about maybe why you stand in line for 5 hours or a couple of days for this latest gadget that you're going to pay like $300 for your own tyranny, when you know that your government is using that device to spy on you.
Isn't that interesting how since the time of Henry Ford, we've come from a machine rolling along the assembly line and humans attaching it and building it to humans going along the assembly line and machines attaching us and building us up into something.
Oh, yep. Yeah. It's not
the only step left is the machines killing us. That's the only one left.
Oh, no, yeah, we're already at that now, bro.
Drones. Wait a minute. We already got that. Skynet's already got its friggin' drones in the air.
Well, you know, what's interesting is all of this technology for autonomous robots really begins with the Nazis in World War II. They had the Goliath. And even though it was attached with a wire, it was a mobile mine. And they could program the location, the coordinates. It would go there and then blow itself up, detonate. And all of our robotics is based on Goliath, based on the Nazi technology. And then, now, when I think about that, I also think about the fact that we employed some other Nazis who didn't get, you know, hung out to dry during the Nuremberg trials, that fake sham that it was. And we used their expertise to develop all these other things that, again, are being used against us.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment of the first hour. My very special guests are Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel. And we were talking over the break about how dumbed down everybody has become, that basically you need to teach everybody things from scratch now, like how to speak English, how to spell, how to cook, how to sew, how to grow food, how to tie their fracking shoelace. I mean, people are so freaking retarded everywhere. It's almost like we need some form of a mass telethon, you know, and just waltz all these idiots up on stage and go, "I'm so dumb. I don't know how to. I don't even know how to cook rice." So on and so forth. There's got to be some way of reversing this mass stupidity. And I don't think the answer is mass mind control, really. You know, and that's basically the whole reason why we've gotten into this freaking situation in the first freaking place. Damn it.
I was going to say, I think that was the cause of all this, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that the one step that everybody needs to do is take everything in your home that has fluoride in it and throw it in the garbage right now and do not replace it.
No, Suzanne, that's bad advice, because then you're dumping hazardous chemical waste into landfill.
Yeah, exactly. The old landfill was your body.
Yeah. I mean,
burn it maybe?
The only way that fluoride can actually be returned into the environment is if it's cycled through human kidneys. Did you know that?
That actually makes a lot of sense to me, because it seems to be that that's the way that they're doing it. Most people, yeah, if everybody knew that it was actually a highly toxic industrial waste, that it turned out it was far cheaper instead of processing it and trying to get rid of it, that if they made us eat it, our bodies processed it very nicely. Well, actually, I'd say they might be shocked by that, but they just wouldn't believe you. So,
And you were talking about how in Winnipeg, which I believe is the where clotheslines originated, there's now up to 50 people like coming out and protesting fluoride, whereas a couple of years ago, even there was just nothing.
People are actually starting to get it, and fluoride's a good stepping stone, okay. I attack the other angle there. I'm big on the law stuff and making sure that people correct their status with their citizenship and whatnot so they can restore their rights, so that when you go to protest, you actually have the right to do it again, because most people don't right now. And that's one of the things I like to concentrate on. Hats off to all the people out there that are starting to at least raise awareness as to what fluoride is. In terms of how damaging fluoride is, well, I mean, just look at what you do with every other aspect of your daily life. I mean, you're doing 100 other things that are just as bad to your body. All the propyl alcohols and the formaldehydes and everything you're consuming that's in all processed food. Just getting rid of fluoride is not going to do it. It's a toxic cocktail of everything you eat in mass-produced food, fast food, everything. That's only one step, the fluoride. It's a real bad one, but there's others that are equally as bad. Vaccinations in children, I mean, they're getting you before you're even 8 months old now. You don't have time to brush your teeth to get fluoride poisoning because they've already jammed you full of formaldehyde and mercury when you were 8 months old and younger. That's if you lived through it, you didn't get shaken baby syndrome and die from a reaction to the vaccinations, which landed your father in jail for killing you.
Well, you know what I find interesting is there's a lot of people who specialize in one thing and they know a lot about it, and it's wonderful that they do that. But by focusing on one thing, it becomes the end and be all of what is supposed to be maybe the kickoff or the only thing that you should do, which would encompass changing every other aspect of yourself. But the psychology of the public has been geared toward consuming things that are shiny and pretty and doing things in incremental stages. It's the same thing that we do with children. They're doing it with adults on a mass scale because our society as a culture has been conditioned to do this. That's why we have throwaway items. That's why throwaway items work so well in American consumerist culture, because we are conditioned to have quick fixes and do everything in small increments.
Well, that way I can spend more time watching TV.
So by taking possibly a list of things that we know are bad for us, and right off the bat, changing the things that we can change incrementally, there would be a huge shift of consciousness simply by maybe not changing the complete consumerism ideology that's been jammed into our heads for the last 80 years. However, what we consume and how we consume it would change, and it would change underneath everything that's going on top. So you would maybe start with stop chewing gum because it has aspartame. And then you would move to maybe not buying GMO or any product that purchases or uses GMO, and getting a list for yourself of those products and learning how to supplement them. Maybe going to a co-op and start exploring purchasing directly from local farmers. Maybe end up going to the farmer's market and getting comfortable with that, and moving your way into maybe purchasing a CSA box so you can purchase directly from the farmer so they don't have to pay all the fees to get to the market to market to you. And then you would maybe take that to your home and get brave and go and buy some fertilizer, hopefully not Roundup, but neem, some pearl and peat moss, and start planting your own things. All of these things take stages. We haven't gotten to where we are overnight. This is many, many, many long decades and centuries of where we are just now, to have us in the midst of technology, and that, like we were saying earlier, to be in the midst of a dark age. We have all of this technology and all these advancements around us, and we're too stupid to understand what to do and how to utilize
something
everything.
That's something that Albert Einstein said. He says there will be a point where technology will become so advanced that it'll just leave people behind. And when that happens, America will become a nation of idiots.
Welcome. How ironic is that? We've never had access to more and faster information ever. Knowledge is literally at the tip of your fingers. Actually, no, not knowledge. Information, because knowledge is the information applied. But all this information is right at your fingertips. But we've never been more incompetent. We've never known less than what we know right now.
Well, we've lost the ability to be wise. We do not have a culture where our grandparents used to live with us, and we used to live amongst our family. Now it's acceptable and it's expected that your children live on the other side of the country, or if not in another country, that grandparents never see their grandchildren, that traditions in families are not passed down except for when that person dies and wills it to you. And children don't grow up with their grandparents, so they don't have a generational understanding of what happened before their parents and what life was like back then. And we've removed all of those. So it has a profound effect.
We're taught on MTV and on TV programming that we're supposed to hate our parents by the time we're 16 at least. And we're supposed to either run away or move out at least by the time we're 18. If you're at home after the age of 18, you're a loser. So you better move out right away. You're supposed to hate your parents and not associate with them at all. Or what are they? You're supposed to call them parental units. And so that's just the way things are supposed to be now. I thought you knew that.
No, I decided to stay home.
And you are behind in the times.
And I'm learning how to can for the winter. I don't know how to do that, but learn how to chop my own wood and take care of animals and do some farming and homeschool my kids and don't vaccinate and do natural homeopathic medicine. Food is our medicine first and foremost. Herbs come after, and then I'm way behind the times.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it. That's very 19th century. I'm a little disappointed.
I know. My mother burned her bras in the 60s, and I turned out like this. I'm a huge disappointment.
Yeah, I know. You actually take care of your kids and take your responsibilities as a woman and a mother seriously. I mean, you're just a shame to the feminist order of Rockefeller brainwashing and mind control.
If your kids are not in a foster home yet, then you are not an American.
Yeah,
no,
if you're not divorced yet, you're just not part of the majority. And if you're not part of the majority,
kids belong to my husband. It's not like there's children from a previous marriage or anything like that. We're all together. So, that's also really crazy, isn't it?
So we might as well sum up the whole first hour here and say that if people want to know what the problem is and then how to start fixing it, you might as well basically just counter with, well, where do you want to start?
Yeah, and because there is no end to it, only a beginning. And that's the interesting thing, isn't it? There's so many problems that it's endless, and people can't solve all of them, at least not right away. So it's essentially, what is your interest? Firstly, it's kind of like the AA meetings. You know, first you've got to admit that you're an alcoholic. Just admit it, ladies and gentlemen. You're a moron.
I admitted it
many years ago. I said to myself, you know, like, Vinny, you're actually a moron, bro. You think you're smart, you think you know all the stuff and everything, but you don't actually know jack. And the only way you're ever going to get any more intelligent, Vinny, is if you shut the frack up, start listening, and start realizing how freaking stupid you are. That's how dumb we all are, is we don't know how dumb we are.
See, the last number of shows I've done, everybody always wants to know, like, who's the evil one out there that they're supposed to be fighting? Well, who is it that we're going to take down? Which bankster is it? How are we going to fix all this? Because, well, and you know, point us in the direction. Who we should be mad at? Who's the problem here? And I tell them, well, I said, this is a two-step solution. One morning, you're going to wake up. So let's start tomorrow morning. And you're going to go to the bathroom. And you're going to get in front of the mirror. And you're going to look in the mirror. And you're going to recognize that you are the problem to everything that's going on in the world right now. You are the problem. Period.
Yeah.
And then the second day, you're going to wake up.
Responsibility.
And you're going to walk into the bathroom. And you're going to look in the mirror. And you're going to look at the guy that is the only one in this world that's going to fix it for you.
Yeah, you are both the problem and the problem solver
and the solution.
That's a profound bit of wisdom there, Dane.
Yeah, I pull those out of my butt every once in a while. Look at that! I even didn't swear. I am trainable, even.
Well,
I know,
it's
shocking.
You can teach an old Clifford new tricks.
Yeah,
big red dog.
So no, we are the problem, so we're just getting everybody else to realize that. I realized that was the problem a few years back, and I started taking matters into my own hand and didn't wait for someone else to come save me, or a government to save me, or the next guru in law to come save me, because I realized none of them were going to save me. I'm the only one that can save me, and I'm the only one that can fix this planet. So I started right back at that. And things never went better as soon as I realized that and started taking control.
We're coming to break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
little bit of weed. Welcome back. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated island chained nation of New Zealand, where, you know, I think that New Zealand is much like America in the fact that we've got this overwhelming, in fact, frack, it's the whole world now, isn't it? This is the reason why Canadian Dean Clifford, American Suzanne Posel, and New Zealander Vinnie Eastwood get along. Because we've all got the exact same frickin' problem with our country, isn't it?
We're sick and tired.
The whole country is full of brainwashed morons, unhealthy people, psychotic scumbags at the top, unjust taxes, criminal courts and police. Am I missing something? Of course I'm missing something, because it'd be impossible to list everything that's wrong with our countries.
It's one of those moments where you try to list a couple of positive things instead. Say, well, what's going right now? Because we don't have the paper or the memory on our computer hard drive to list all the bad stuff that's going wrong right now.
There is not enough memory on the internet to list how bad things are.
That's actually a valid point. That's probably why it keeps growing with bad stuff.
Yeah. And misinformation and disinformation and so on and so forth. It's freaking unbelievable. And, well, it's coming to the point where I'm starting to realize myself that I'm a hypocrite, you know, because although I'm starting to very, very slowly get rid of the bad things out of my life, like I gave up fast food about a month ago, never felt better. I gave up all fast food. I will not, under any circumstances, go to any American GMO freaking soft kill bioweapon manufacture plant. All right, I'm not doing it ever again. Like ever, even if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm drunk and I need something to eat and nothing else is open. I would prefer to starve. All right. That's how much I really hate the idea of fast food right now. But you know, we all do it. And we feel guilty about it, and maybe we freaking should, because the guilt is something that motivates you to stop doing what you're doing. And in the last month, not only have I given up fast food, I've basically all but completely stopped smoking. And you know, I've got myself really together. I'm getting a hell of a lot more work done. I've been set back somewhat by my fish book incident, but you know. It's a process. That's the thing. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it certainly can be destroyed in one. But here's the other thing. We all have something, like vices and so on and so forth. At the moment, the vice that I'm leaning on quite considerably is coffee. I tried stopping coffee. You know, cigarettes, no problem. Weed, no problem. Easy to give up. Coffee, mate. I tried stopping drinking it for a week. I couldn't do anything for that entire week. I was drinking 4 liters of water a day, trying to flush my system out of it.
Ooh, that's actually worse. Don't do that.
Really? Is that worse?
It's worse, yeah. That's probably why your body wanted coffee again, because you're drinking so much water. We're going to talk about that, because you just officially stopped drinking coffee again, because that's absolutely awful for your shrine, your body. It's I'm done myself. You're talking to a fellow coffee addict for years and years and years and years and years, tried giving it up any number of times, was always back on it within a matter of a week or two. I've officially been done for several months now, and now the actual thought of a cup of coffee makes me sick to the point where I think I'm going to be nauseous just thinking about it.
Well, how did you give it up then?
Substituted, and actually as soon as you started eating right, I found that my when I took health serious to the point of being extreme about it, and basically just purged my body of all the toxins that were in it, you find you no longer crave coffee anymore. I found a suitable replacement for it, which is basically every morning now I heat up some water, but only just slightly hotter than what tap water would be. And I've got a very, very large coffee mug that I squeeze one whole lemon into, and then I put a whole heaping teaspoon of unpasteurized natural honey from a local farmer into the cup, dump the hot water into it, and drink that. And not only is it detoxifying, it wakes you up in the morning, gives you all the friggin' the really good salts and everything you need in your body. You just feel fantastic. It's a great way to get the day going. The honey's got all sorts of energy boosts in it and whatnot. You naturally feel energy boosted and fantastic, and the thought of coffee will make you sick within 1 week, I guarantee you.
Lemon and honey, you know.
Lemon and honey. People, isn't that interesting?
People have been doing that for years.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, here's a quick fix for you there. I'll start that, I guess, after the show, once I finish this cup in front of me.
Yeah. I mean, didn't our parents our grandparents try to give us that when we were sick when we were kids? Well, here, have some lemon and honey in some hot water.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better when you're sick, what'll it do when you're already feeling good?
Guess it'll make you healthy.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
Coffee, caffeine, bad, 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 bad. Everybody out there, if you're drinking coffee, you are part of the problem. Your worst enemy is in your mirror first thing in the morning when you're brushing your teeth. Nobody else is screwing your life up more than you are. Quit blaming the government and the bankers.
You know, this is actually quite something that'll offend people, don't you reckon?
Because I hope so.
You know, this is actually a good thing, because even I'm getting offended. I'm getting offended because I know that it's true and I don't have any excuses that I can throw out there, you know? It's like, oh my God, I am my own worst enemy. I am a big freaking problem, aren't I?
Yep.
Oh my God, and there's no freaking escaping it.
Yep. Man, if people knew how much coffee... coffee's like what, the world's number one commodity right now, and it's completely controlled by the banksters. Completely. They make so much money off your coffee consumption that it violates my second rule, because after my health, it's what am I doing to the world, and I'm funding criminals. So it doesn't meet any of my top two checklists. So that's part of the divestment plan that I got going on right now to bring these guys down, is I divest from their system. I don't fund them anymore. If I even think it's going to fund them, I don't do it.
You know, I absolutely love this, because we're always talking about what they're doing and how egregious it is, and enough people are not realizing and telling people that simply your compliance, whether it's nonchalant, whether it's you're participating in it, your compliance and everything that's going on and all this around you is the problem. If we all just stopped, they wouldn't be able to do half the things that they're doing. And we'd probably have the ability to take care of the other half, eventually, at least. But if we just stop, like you're saying, I'm not going to do anything that violates these rules. This is what is acceptable for me. This is what I'm worth. And I'm taking this power. I'm taking it back. It's mine to begin with. I handed it off to you. I'm sorry I was so stupid for so long, but I'm taking it back now, and I'm starting today. And here are the things that I'm going to change in my life. And I don't care what you say. This is wrong, and I don't want to participate in it. And the more that we participate less, and the more people who stop participating, I mean, this is just this is a snowball. This is like contagious. This would be wonderful.
Yep. And when you stick to it, you start being a man of principle, and you stop being a consumer whore.
Absolutely. And then what are they going to do? You know, people say, oh, you have to vote, because then if you don't vote, then your vote doesn't count. Your vote never counted to begin with. So how about next presidential election, or next election at all? But the presidential is the one that gets the most national coverage. So let's take that one. The next presidential election, just stay home, everybody. Everybody just stay home. How are they going to fake that?
Well, most of the people just stay home anyway, Suzanne. I'm not
sure. Yeah, there you go.
Effective.
Yeah, there's the next step of this problem, and that's actually my biggest thing that I force people on, and I force them, literally. I tell people, don't even join my forum until you've done this one thing. I tell many people that I will not even speak law to you until you've done this one thing. My last appearance in Angela Stark's radio show, I told the people that still do this one thing to just turn off the radio and don't even bother tuning in that night. There's no point in speaking to you. There's no point in me even wasting my breath on you if you still do this. And that's if you haven't canceled your cable package yet. If you still have cable TV, I won't even speak to you. You're not worth my time. Because number one, you're funding all this nonsense. And number two, whatever I tell you, you're going to go home and fill your head with puke again, which means that I just wasted whatever time of my life I just spent with you. And so that's insulting to me, which means I don't spend a second of my life on you if you still have cable TV. Watch cable TV or you're interested in cable TV.
Well, I gave it up.
What's interesting is I think, yeah, in the first year of doing radio in 2010, there was a report came out, I think it might have been out of Associated Press or Reuters, that 30 or 40 million Americans cancelled their cable that year. And it was like, out of nowhere, it went from like about a million people or 2 million people canceling their cable the year previous to like 30 or 40 million or something.
Yep. You know, one of the ladies helping us now with our forum stuff and doing some video editing, she's starting to translate a lot of my stuff into Spanish now for the Spanish people on the planet. She just finally got out of her cable package. She's been waiting 2 months now for it to be able to finally cancel the contract, and she finally canceled it the other day when it was up. And the guy on the end of the phone, and she posted about this on Facebook, actually started begging her, like, well, why don't you want to renew? Well, I don't want my cable anymore. Well, why not? What do you mean you don't want TV anymore? And he ended up offering her free cable. Free. No payments. Free. We will give you free cable if you don't terminate your contract. You won't owe us a dime. Just please keep your cable TV. And obviously she still said no. It's not even about money anymore. It's principles. It's the fact that why even have it anymore, right? And for the people that tell me, oh, well, I have to because of my kids. What do you mean I have to because of my kids? You should have to get rid of it because of your kids. Well, yeah, but they bitch and complain and scream and cry. Smack them. Smack them. Go buy a steel-toed boot and kick them so hard in their asses that your boot comes out of their nostrils and tell them to shut their mouths. Be a parent for once. Don't be their friends. Don't ruin their lives by letting them sit like zombies in front of a TV. If anything, you should be canceling it because of them, not keeping it because of them. It's the worst thing ever when you go to somebody's house and there's six TVs and six different rooms and six gaming systems and most of the family members have forgotten each other's names. Holy frick.
Oh, yeah. That's bad, man. Have you ever woken up one morning and you think, oh, my God, am I living in a global sort of flash mob of a impression of a bad sci-fi movie?
You know what, Vinny, I think we spoke about this last time. There was a couple of years before this really started to catch on where I used to wake up in the morning and I thought I might be crazy.
Probably the reason why you're still sane, Dean.
Kidding. I used to have to call some of the people in my little circle of friends that were big in the law movement and just say, am I crazy? Like, am I the only one that sees this?
I asked my brother that one time in a car a couple of years back. And I said, bro, do you think I'm crazy? For doing all this, 9/11 was an inside job stuff and exposing the fluoride and the alternative media and so on and so forth. And he goes, nah, I just think you need to grow up.
Oh, zing.
And he was Yikes. Right. And I did grow up and I got better at what I'm doing. And now he actually listens to me when I speak about this kind of stuff. And doesn't call me and doesn't think that I'm immature or anything anymore, because he's I actually have developed a lot since that time.
Yeah, we're crazy for telling people to go and start playing with their kids instead of buying them a gaming system and telling them to shut up and I don't want to see you until tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Is humanity going through this kind of this period of intellectual puberty, you know? Like you're suddenly growing up, oh, I'm becoming a man, I'm becoming a thinker.
Ah, boy, I don't know. I don't think there's ever been a period in human history where we've treated our own family and our own friends with such disrespect and contempt. I think we're actually at a low point in human civilization.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's ironic, though, isn't it? Is we've got all these modern conveniences and technology. We've got the ability to do these amazing, incredible things with science and the development of spirituality and stuff like that, and people having well-documented psychic powers in places and all of this other kind of stuff. Yet, the vast majority of people...
Well, it occurred to me the other day,
these experiences, and this was an argument that I was having with a feminist the other day. She was just saying, you know, feminism's good, you know, and I've got three kids, and I've still got my husband, and we've gone through all of this. My kids are going to like Columbia University on scholarship, and so on and so forth. Feminism's good, and I just say to her, look, You can't debunk an entire argument by using your personal experience as the only method of debunking, okay? So if something affects everybody, then you have to have a look at everybody's experience, don't you? And overall, it's something completely different to what your experience is. And that's what people forget. They think that their own subjective experience is the truth. And it's, in general, it's not that case.
What's the theory behind feminism again? I think I'm 100% equal to you, and I have the special rights to prove it.
I thought it was men. What is this? It's okay. CIA funded a women's lib magazine. And it's an admitted document. Mainstream media. Rockefeller Foundation funded the women's lib movement. Admitted, yep. Documented. Mainstream media. And so, incidentally, you wind up having you could previously only tax half the population because only half the population was working. Now you get to tax 100% of the population and borrow against all their slave taxes to the international banksters.
Don't forget the best part, Vinny, because now the government has your kids much earlier in life when they're still in their formative years. Instead of being looked after at home by a good housewife, now they're in daycare and schools where they're being educated by rapists, child molesters, and every other absolutely despicable lowlife in society you could possibly imagine. Like TSA agents.
Yeah. And also the other element was, I was saying to this woman, okay, so you think feminism's good and you think you're free. Okay, two questions. Do your kids get indoctrinated 6+ hours a day in a state brainwashing institution? And do you pay taxes that you never volunteered to pay, that you don't have a choice in paying?
Yeah, they're much better off now.
If the answer to both of those questions is yes, then both you and your children are a slave. No matter what rationalization you have, you're a slave. Just admit it, get over it, start fighting to become free. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can listen in live 5 till 7 Central Time, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. GMT, and 10 a.m. through midday New Zealand time until such time as we come to like September 30th, in which case it goes to 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. So you can not quite listen to it on your lunch break. And my very special guests are Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel. Now, Dean, you wanted to get into solutions this last couple of segments, didn't you?
Yeah, we might as well get there. I mean, we all know things are bad. There we go, network. We all know things are bad. We know what's bad. We know we've identified most of the problems. My specialty comes more in the law movement, except I found that you got to be well-rounded in your solutions. It's not just one thing. It's a combination of just making your entire life better, getting into the health stuff and everything. But I know you want to talk about a couple of my incidents going back to even spring now. I'm not sure who's aware of my background, but I've been a bit of a freedom fighter for a very long time now. For people that think that death and taxes are the only two things that are certain in life, I can tell you right now that I'm working on death. And the other one is already a thing of the past. 17 years out of filing or paying income taxes. I don't hear from the taxing authorities anymore. I drive without a driver's license. I don't insure my trucks. I don't get anything from the state that I'm not obligated to get in life. I'm very well informed on my rights. I'm even better at practice at enforcing them. And that's what one of the things we're trying to help people right now in the law movement is when they want to start protesting and they want to start getting involved and making their life better and fighting, quotation marks, the man, people need to realize that they have to correct their status first and get out of the whole corporate citizenship existence that they're in right now, because they don't have any rights. And that's why you have free speech zones, and that's why you don't have the right to free speech, you don't have the right to protest, you don't have all these rights you're supposed to have that are supposed to be fundamentally protected international rights in all the covenants and human rights declarations. For some reason, we don't seem to have those. and we don't have access to them. And people can read up more on this on my website. If you want to go and start learning about your rights, watch my videos. Just look me up on YouTube. They're all over the place. Go to deanclifford.info, start researching. We got videos coming up there soon here on the conferences I teach. But we have to learn our rights, and we have to start standing up for ourselves first and foremost. Down in the United States, it's now becoming illegal to grow organic food in your own garden, right? So it's very important that people actually learn their rights and learn how to correct this, well, we'll call it a misinterpretation of what their rights are, and get rid of this whole belief in a civic duty or a social contract, and start to go back to being able to live your life free of the government altogether.
Now, I tried looking for that for a social contract. I couldn't find one that I'd signed.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, well, it's inferred. It's a different type. It's a quasi contract when you sign up for your social insurance number down in the United States, or your social security number, I should say, social insurance number in Canada. I'm sure it's something else in New Zealand. It's something else in Australia, but it's the same scam over and over and over again, and it has to do with the legal person. So I corrected that all years ago, and it's been a long process, and I'm trying to teach it to people now. But just as early as this spring, I just spent 26 days in jail in February, 16 of which were in solitary confinement due to my political beliefs, which is supposed to be another internationally banned practice. But I know you were interested in this, Vinny, but I got pulled over by a cop who didn't like something I was doing. I'm really not sure what it was. In the winter up here in Canada, I think the tail end of my truck swung around when I was going around a corner, because we drive on ice 6 months of the year up here. So he pulled me over and then tried to arrest me for not having a driver's license, because I told him I don't have one. I don't require him one. And when he tried placing me under arrest, I placed him under arrest for assaulting me and breaching the peace. And then that got into a very physical altercation where I ended up throwing him around the parking lot for about 5 minutes before his backup got there. But I spent 26 days in jail. They had me up on 11 criminal charges, including assaulting a peace officer, resisting arrest, you name it. You name it. It was getting interesting there for a while, and they couldn't bluff me. They couldn't bullshit me. They couldn't get me to believe any of their nonsense. I know my rights. And 26 days later, they had to let me out of solitary confinement that same day, a free man with no charges against me. All 11. So 11 charges gone.
How many days did you spend in solitary confinement exactly?
16 days in solitary confinement.
All right. See, that's the interesting thing. And I believe this is a point that a couple of listeners brought up with me. You know, what happens to people who know their rights and their freedoms? Well, you get chucked in solitary confinement with no charges or anything to stick on you for 16 days, you know? And it's like, it doesn't matter if you know your rights to a large degree, because they don't care. In fact, I had this... Not to disparage you or anything. I mean, like, what you do is very, very effective. And they do actually to a large degree, but it doesn't change the fact that they're tyrannical scumbags who just do stuff that's illegal.
They're still
going
to try to bluff you and bully you into abandoning your position, into abandoning your claim. Let's see if this guy really wants to stand up for himself. They're going to see if you really believe it or not. And if you don't and you cave, they're going to make you wish you had never, ever tried to assert your rights. Because whatever, you're going to get it tenfold now.
Well, I was speaking to Grace Hayden. She's a 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand Police. And she says, what rights? You've only got three rights. Put up, shut up, or pay up. They're the only three rights that are actually really guaranteed to you. Everything else you have to fight for.
That's exactly right. You actually, rights, which a better word for them would be freedoms. You only have the rights and freedoms that you're willing to fight for, to defend. That's it. Nothing is guaranteed to you. The rest you have to fight for. It means you have to know it, you have to stand up for it, and you have to not let people push you around and not be scared of them. Oh, they threw me in solitary confinement for 16 days. Oh, no. I didn't care. I sat there. I read a book. I didn't say a word for 16 days. They started feeling bad for me. Some of the guards were coming around to talk to me to see if I wanted somebody to speak to. I told them to leave me alone. I was busy. You got to turn everything into a win. You got to let them know you're not afraid of them. Okay, well, that's all you got, throwing me in solitary confinement for exercising my rights. Like, it's people shouldn't fear going to jail. It's almost like these days, if you're going to jail, you've done something right. That's actually like almost like a compliment.
Mm. Well, I think it's like when you put yourself out there and you become an example to others, it's I think it was like when David Icke was here in Auckland a couple of years back. I wanted to say something to him. I never got the chance, but I said, you know, the reason why people like you so much, David, is because you make them see what's best in themselves. And it's the same with you, Dean, is that that's the reason why people follow you and like you, is because you actually do what other people wish they could do but didn't have the bravery to do it until they saw you doing it.
And that's what I love. I just want people to have the, if it takes me doing it to give people the courage to do it themselves, that's fine. I don't mind being that guy. But I'll tell you, I've had lots of people say, oh yeah, you really won, eh? You still had to spend 26 days in jail. I said, yeah, you know what? Big deal. I had to spend 26 days in jail. You're in jail every day for the rest of your life. Your mind is in jail. Your life is a jail. I had to spend 26 days in jail. When I got out, believe me, I was a free man because I went right back to driving with no license, not paying income taxes, not listening to the government, and doing whatever I want. And I'll spend my life in jail for one day of that kind of freedom.
Hey, how long would it take you? Like, let's say you were paying taxes and you spent 26 days working or something like that and paying taxes, versus the entire time that you've been free, not paying taxes. Technically, just on a monetary basis, it's actually worth it.
Way more worth it. Yep, good. Hey, I'll go to jail for a month every year and leave my paycheck alone. Everybody be better off tomorrow. Because right now you work for the government 5.5 months a year. Everybody on this planet who files and pays income taxes is in jail for 5.5 months a year. And they laugh at me because I had to go to solitary confinement to stand up for myself.
Yeah, whereas everything's like... What's the opposite of the word solitary? Multiplary? Or what the frick, constabulary?
I don't even know.
Everybody else is like in the opposite of solitary confinement. They're like individually confined, isn't that right?
They're slaves.
Completely, yeah. They're slaves, and they're completely detached from reality, completely detached from all of the people around them. Have you noticed that? That people don't even care about each other anymore, and they actually like to see people like you go to jail, Dean.
People rejoice in the suffering of their fellow man today. That's how depraved we have become morally as a people. We actually rejoice and celebrate in seeing our fellow man suffer, especially somebody that has it coming to them for attempting to be free. I was actually going to comment on that earlier. I was just reading through. I've just been in a bunch of newspapers here recently in Canada. I was supposed to be doing an interview with somebody, with a reporter from the Toronto Star right away, if we can ever hook up. But I'm reading the comments from the story that they did publish, and it mentioned me, and it had the website up there, and it was an interview with another gentleman up here by the name of Brian Alexander. And we're reading the comments in the National Post, and the comments there are people are actually advocating or saying that they would gladly pay their taxes, knowing that it's hiring police to come out and beat and throw people like us in jail. They're glad to pay their taxes, knowing it's going to pay for police officers who are going to come and beat us and throw us in jail. Apparently, that's what makes them happy in life. I'm glad to pay taxes for that reason. How morally depraved do you have to be to even make a comment like that? Never mind actually believe it, because this guy really did believe it. And that he wasn't the only one saying stuff like that. No license? Cuff him and throw him in jail for 2 months. That'll make him rethink things. That was another comment on there. I have a video coming out right away where I read some of these comments off and then I have my reply to it. And that video is going to be going out sometime soon, hopefully in the near future. And that just shows you the mentality of it's almost like the government's not the problem. It's we have to worry more about the people that are actually supporting what the government's doing.
I have a saying that I'm now rethinking. You have nothing to fear from people who know nothing. Actually, it's the people who know nothing that you should be most deathly afraid of.
You have the most to fear from people who know nothing.
Yeah.
There's no question, because these people will die protecting the system that they think actually does them some form of benefit, which actually enslaves them. They will beg for their own enslavement. Wasn't that an actual quote? They will beg for their own enslavement?
I don't...
That was a Rothschild quote.
Competition is a sin?
Yep, that's another one of his quotes. Yep. That's there's a lot of gooders out there. But there's a lot of simple solutions out there that we should probably talk about. But people should have hope that this stuff works. It works, believe me. I got arrested again, by the way. I'll just throw this in here real quick before break. Within the last month and a half. And I am getting remedy, by the way. I'll just let people know that. That 26 days in jail, in solitary especially, was the most productive use of my time I've ever had in my life. That's going to fund my retirement and every project to ever come into my life to try to make this world a better place. So, but I got arrested again about 6 weeks ago, maybe close to 2 months ago now. Another cop pulled me over. Apparently, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt properly. Apparently, there's a proper way to wear it, and I wasn't doing that. So being the free people that we are, I got pulled over for that. And when he asked me for a driver's license, I said, dude, I'm a non-resident. I don't have one of those. I'm not required to have one, which turned into a shouting match where he was yelling and screaming at me like a little baby. Then he tried to grab me and arrest me, which turned into yet another physical altercation where I ended up getting into it physically with another cop and defending myself from an unlawful arrest. This one resulted in 8 cop cars and 13 police officers and what you would think looked like a terrorist scenario in the mini strip mall that I was in. We had roads being blocked off and, oh my God, it was unbelievable. All over a seatbelt incident, I might add. This led to me going straight to solitary confinement upon this arrest. I now found out there's a mandate at the local prison to throw me directly in solitary confinement due to my political beliefs, which is a violation of the International Covenants on Human Rights, by the way. But either way, that resulted in me being in jail 4 days this time. And first thing Monday morning, the Crown was completely unopposed to my immediate release without bail on my own recognizance to show up at the next hearing, which I never did anyways. But this is, I think, the fifth time now, fifth or sixth, I've been charged with resisting arrest, assaulting a peace officer, each one of those individually, by the way, 5 counts each. Every time I do this, I'm spending less time in prison. If everything I'm trying to teach people is wrong, don't you think the sliding scale would go the other way?
Hey, you know, eventually you won't get arrested anymore.
Well, that's the hope. That's the hope. So, but one thing that people have to remember, you can't stop sticking up for yourself. Like, oh, that didn't work. I'll just play ball this time because I'm scared of spending a week or two in prison. That's the only power they have over you. Your fear of going to prison for a couple of weeks. That's it. What other fear do you possibly have? What are they going to do? Are they going to throw 7 billion people in jail if everybody stops complying tomorrow?
Yeah, they can't. But the thing is, 7 billion people aren't going to stop complying tomorrow.
That's the
problem. What they do is it's targeted, and it's political persecution and in its purest form. Is it not?
Oh, there's no question, but they know they can get away with it because, again, we spoke earlier about people being ignorant, uneducated to the point of being incompetent to run their daily affairs. Now you want people to be able to find remedy and recourse in the legal system? And you can't use a lawyer to do this, by the way, because if you use a lawyer, you have no rights at all.
Yeah.
Because lawyers, hiring a lawyer reduces your status to something that is not afforded any of the rights you could possibly call on to receive remedy in those courts.
Indeed. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel, the very, very quiet as a mouse in the background in the house. Right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Jimi Hendrix wrote that song for Dean Clifford back in the 60s. There must be some kind of way out of here by not admitting that I don't have any freaking rights and beans in solitary confinement.
Yep.
And, okay. I'm sorry. I'm acting a little bit silly. You got to be a bit silly though, in this day and age, don't you, Dean?
If you can't have a laugh at this shit, then you're doing it wrong.
Also, we got to mind the swearing on this broadcast. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dean's a contractor. Okay, you've got to give him some some leeway here.
I've been better. You probably, I know, I think you might have probably heard a few of my other broadcasts we do on other stations where they're not, they don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And it gets a little bit more entertaining, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, final segment, what we're going to do.
What are we going to do about it? I got education, number one, Americans especially, because that's probably most of the listeners I hear. I'm really not too sure, but this goes for every nation on this planet. And I say nation, not country. Nations are non-geographically based political affiliations. People keep confusing the country that they live in with the nation. Nations are what the United States is trying to bring to the world right now, these corporate democracies where you have a corporate person. Your legal person who is registered to vote in a democracy. And the minute you do that, you consent to be recognized in a legal jurisdiction that strips you of every single right you have that you inherited in the family of mankind. You have no rights. It flips you. It takes you out of common law jurisdiction or the jurisdiction where your rights are something that you're born with. Your freedoms are something that are inherent. They're part of you. They can't be abridged or abrogated from you. And you register into this democracy, which is a corporate jurisdiction, where all of your rights are granted to you as privileges by the government, and they can be taken from you at will without notice to you. That's what you do when you register to vote in a democracy. And we're just talking about that on break. The United States was not founded as a democracy. It was a republic. A republic is the antithesis to a democracy. It is the exact opposite. So shortly after the republic was created, this corporate lookalike came along, which I believe the exact date was 1871, which was when the Congress adjourned sine die forever. And they created a new corporate democracy underneath the Congress. And then got everybody to register into this new jurisdiction underneath the Congress that stripped them of all their rights. And the real American government's not there anymore. It doesn't exist. It's there, but no one's really manning the post. Now you got this new lookalike, this fake corporate democracy, where they've tricked everybody and fooled everybody into joining this. This has spread around the world, and that's why they're trying to bring democracy to the world. They're trying to bring the same nation statehood as what the United States enjoys right now, where the government can get away with murder, literally, and no one can do anything about it, because as long as you're in that system, you have no rights. You're a slave. This is the same in Canada. This is the same everywhere. We just had people, I did an interview recently from Croatia. It's the same thing now in Croatia. And the same things that I'm teaching here in Canada worked slam dunk for a guy in Croatia. These guys wanted to build a one world system. They did it, and all the great thing about that is now that the same solutions now work everywhere, which means once you find the Achilles heel in a worldwide network, you just found the way to bring the entire thing down. So homogenous is not always such a good thing. So that's what's going on in the world. People have to wake up and realize that. Unfortunately, all these flag-waving Americans that blinded by patriotic beliefs that they live in this republic where they have all these unalienable rights. No, you have no rights. You're a 14th Amendment citizen with no rights. You have privileges the government can strip from you at will without notice to you. You're a slave. Get over it. Realize it. Start to do something about it. And that's why we're teaching people how to deregister, how to renegotiate their terms of how they're viewed or recognized by the government, starting to enforce their claims of their rights and force the government to recognize who they are and what their rights really are. And that flips things around back to the way it was supposed to be when they are a republic and you are above the government. The government is your slave. They are your servant. Because right now it's the other way around. So on top of that,
I was thinking that parliamentarians would actually have to wear some kind of a uniform, like a black and white stripy jumpsuit, and wear some kind of a ball and chain just to identify that they are slaves to the people.
Yes,
while they're in government.
Yes. Yeah, they started calling themselves really fancy names instead of public servants, which they really are. Now they're all sorts of really neat things like ministers and officials. Oh, they're officials. Well, I'm an official, so everything I do is official. No, dude, you're a servant. Now, go pick up my dog poop and clean my dishes, because I got stuff to do. Yeah. Right. And it really is that powerful because, like, it's working for me just fine. So I can tell you that already. But the solutions don't just end there. We've talked about this tonight. It's something that I'm calling recently divestment. It even started as just a random post I made on Facebook recently where I was talking about divesting from their system. And that means basically, except for literally food and necessities, I want people to stop shopping. Stop buying, stop consuming, stop everything. Stop everything that is a revenue source for these people. All forms of taxation that are attached to everything you're purchasing. And you know what? It turns out it actually does wonders for your health while you're at it too. Because when you go to the grocery store, if you can't find a farmer's market to buy fresh fruit, and even at the grocery stores, necessities like fruit and vegetables raw are about the only things that aren't taxed. Which means you can buy those all day long and you're not supporting their system. If you're buying anything out of a box in a grocery store, you might as well eat the box when it comes to nutrition. Because everything in that box is going to be GMO, full of preservatives, and full of stuff that is going to make your body cancerous and toxic and is going to kill you. And you're paying taxes to the people that are trying to kill you in the process. So again, look in the mirror. You are the problem. These people would not be able to do anything that they're doing if you didn't buy everything that they're trying to sell you and support their entire system. So eat better, shop better, stop spending unless you have to. All these people that are broke, why are you broke? Look at the stupid crap you buy every day. Your home is full of garbage, TVs, gaming systems, electronics that you don't need, expensive food. It actually turned out to be cheaper when I switched to eating nothing but fresh, raw, organic foods. Okay, everything got cheaper. My health improved. People don't consider the long-term costs of eating fast food. How many months and years are you going to spend in the hospital later in life because you're eating terribly? How much money is an operation going to cost you? Factor that into your eating habits, and you're going to find out that fruits and vegetables are cheaper at the till, and they're cheaper long-term.
Also, think about even just the current things that are doing to you. What's your loss in productivity and your reduced thinking and learning capacity by eating fast foods? It hits you freaking instantly.
Yep. Here's some proof for you. I always like to do the things that I speak of. So my brother came back with me to Manitoba from Alberta, where he lives, a couple months ago to do construction work with me. And just to prove a point, we decided that we were going to do nothing but live on oranges. Literally. And we do heavy construction work. We do a lot of physical labor. And I find that I'm far more productive, far stronger, and I don't have to stop. I don't get tired when I do nothing but eat 7 or 8 large tangerine or navel oranges in a day. For lunch, we'll have 3 oranges. Then for a break, we'll have an orange. Then for dinner, we'll have 2 oranges. Okay. Not only do we feel fantastic and we can work all day and not even have to drink water. We didn't get thirsty working in the sun and in the heat. Our bodies were just running properly now. We didn't have to drink water even. But the first two, how much weight did you lose? My brother is now down 24 pounds in 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah, it was there. So it didn't take long. He's not a fat guy. But he's just a bigger guy, lots of muscle as well, but he's just leaning right up and feels fantastic and we can work all day. I stopped yawning during the day when I started eating nothing but fruits. Okay, when I got rid of the coffee, I used to yawn all day when I was on coffee. Now when I get up in the morning, I have that lemon tea, Vinny, and then the rest of the day I have nothing but oranges and maybe a couple of bananas. I don't yawn. I don't sit down. I don't get tired. I don't need to drink water. I don't feel hungry ever. How much does 7 oranges cost you? $2?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was a study that just came out in New Zealand. Oh, not just came out. This was like five years ago, even. There's a place where we grow our oranges, like the equivalent of the New Zealand, Florida. You know, it's called Kerikeri. Kerikeri oranges, you know, it's famous in this country.
Nice.
And they tested them to see how much vitamin C was in them. Nothing. There wasn't a skerrick of vitamin C left in these oranges because they've been growing these groves for so damn long and artificially fertilizing them and not putting any proper nutrients into the soil, that there is no nutrition left in the friggin' oranges.
Yep, probably not. Now, Now, and people have actually said that to me. That, well, you know, there's no point eating the, you know, the bananas are GMO now. They're not. They're actually just a product of breeding the plants the way the current banana is. And same with oranges. But here's the problem: we have to eat something. Okay, we can't. I'm from Canada. I can't eat garden vegetables year round. So I will eat an orange that is severely reduced in nutrition because it's not being grown the way it should be properly and organically. Well ahead of a pizza or something in a box out of a grocery store. At least the orange is still natural. And if it's even a fraction as nutritious as what a proper orange should be, then I'm still better off. Yeah, and now indeed. I'm not... So it's much better anyways. So
do you have a website, Dean, that people can go to?
Absolutely, deanclifford.info. And I'm just starting to get into it a lot more now, too. And so it's deanclifford.info. And we're really starting to ramp things up around there. It's been a side project for a while now. It's been mostly volunteer labor. We all work for a living, and we don't really have the financing to do this full time. So we do it in our spare time. But we're putting a lot more time and effort into it now to really make information available to people. And we're also doing something else. And I don't know, you might have to go to break or stop here pretty soon, but I'll just get this blurb out here real quick. One of the things we're trying to promote lately, and they can come to the site and see all about it. Oh, geez. I don't know. It needs more than 10 seconds.
All right. Well, we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. DeanClifford.info. Catch you later. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Suzanne. And OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com.